Good evening. I'm Rick Sanchez, and tonight we are coming to you from the Foreign Ministry in Tehran. The situation is tense between the United States and Iran, and we have now the opportunity to speak to the individual who perhaps more than anybody else in the world is in the thick of these negotiations. Dr. Abbas Araghchi is the foreign minister of Iran, and he's good enough to give us some time in his very busy schedule to talk to us on this evening. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. This is a very special time for the world, a very special time for your country, a very special time for the United States, the country that I'm from. And we are hoping that there can be some kind of resolution, and we hope that we can get a better understanding from you about how things are going. There's probably nothing more important at this point in your discussions with Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner, the representatives that Mr. Trump has sent to speak with you, than the enrichment of uranium. So can we start there? What level of enrichment is Iran hoping that it could achieve, and what is it willing to agree to so that we can hopefully get an agreement between the United States and your country?
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Well, I think the answer is obvious. The level of enrichment, which is for peaceful purposes.
Yeah.
So as far as it is peaceful, so we have the right to do enrichment. And we want to use our right, of course. Mm-hmm. That very much depends on our needs, and we don't go beyond our needs, obviously. I can give you an example. We have a research reactor in Tehran, which is known as TRR, Tehran Research Reactor, and that is working with 20% enriched uranium fuel.
Right.
And that is built, by the way, by Americans before the revolution. Research reactor actually produces radioisotopes, the medicines which are needed for more than a million Iranians who are suffering from cancer or different kind of...
Yes.
We don't go beyond our needs, and we don't go beyond the peaceful purposes, that is for sure.
So you're saying 20% would be a fair number. Our audience may or may not know this, but to enrich uranium to the point where you can use it for nuclear weapons, you need, according to most experts, 90%. So you're saying you would like to reach the threshold of 20% and not go beyond that? Is that fair?
As much as we need. So, and our need for 20% enriched uranium is not huge, actually.
Mm-hmm.
For the power reactors, the enrichment level which is needed is below 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So for the power reactors that we are now designing and hopefully we will build in the coming years, we would need enrichment below 5%. So whatever we need, as far as it is peaceful, is our right. And we hope that we can come to a solution or an agreement in which Iran can enjoy its rights based on its needs. And the other side would be ensured that everything is peaceful and would remain peaceful forever.
Let me ask you one more question on this before we move on. On the question of enrichment, you agreed with Mr. Obama, another U.S. president that I had the honor of interviewing, 3.5%.
3.67.
Thank you, sir, for your specificity. Given Mr. Trump's nature, he's not going to agree to whatever Obama agreed to. So you almost understand that you're going to need to go to at least 3.7 or above. Is that fair?
I think, even with Obama, in the deal, which was called JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action.
Yes, sir.
Even the question of 20% enrichment was addressed,
yeah,
because it was needed by Iran. But the level that we agreed to continue our enrichment at the industrial level was 3.67 exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think these figures are not important. The peaceful nature of the enrichment is important.
Yes.
So below 5% is needed for power reactors. In some special cases, like TRR, there is a need for 20% enrichment. So I believe that we are able to come to a better deal than Obama's deal or JCPOA. I have been in this business of nuclear negotiations in the past 20 years.
Yeah.
So I know that it is achievable. We can come to a better deal than before, and we are able to ensure that there is no nuclear weapon. This is the main concern of those who have concern. Nuclear weapon, we can guarantee.
That sounds like a good deal for the United States. Sure. Did you get a sense from Mr. Kushner or Mr. Witkoff in your conversations that they perceived it the way that I just perceived it?
I think I saw a better understanding than before, especially since we started to talk about creative ideas. Creative ideas. How to come to a deal which can accommodate both sides' interests and concerns.
Okay.
And I have already instructed my team to work on a doable plan or proposal which can guarantee that there would be no nuclear weapon, at the same time can guarantee Iran's right for peaceful use of nuclear technology.
For electricity,
for producing medicines, agriculture, everything.
And
I think it is doable and it is achievable. We just need to use our creativity and goodwill. Let me be specific on this.
Okay.
We still do not have full trust on Americans.
Yeah.
And I think we have every right not having trust. Because the last time we negotiated, last June, we were in the middle of negotiations.
Yes.
when they decided to attack us. And that was a very, very bad experience for us. And we
what's it going to take to get you to the level of trust that you think is necessary?
Well, we need to make sure that that scenario is not repeated. And this is mostly up to Americans to make that assurance.
Do you need Mr. Trump to tell you personally that, since he's the one who broke the promise last time?
We need a guarantee. We need an objective guarantee that the same scenario is not going to be repeated. And the United States is not using force to resolve differences.
Yes.
With others or with Iran, at least.
That's a fair point.
They tried it once last year, and they failed. Iran's nuclear program cannot be bombed and destroyed because it's a technology we have developed by ourselves. So there is no solution but a diplomatic solution, and we are prepared to do that.
I get a sense that your talks with Mr. Kushner and Mr. Witkoff and the U.S. representative, Mr. Bradley, the admiral, are going well. And my sense of that comes from the fact that Bibi Netanyahu immediately is calling an emergency meeting in Washington with Mr. Trump. My thought is Mr. Netanyahu doesn't like the fact that the talks are going well, and he's going to Washington and he's going to say, they got to get rid of their ballistic missiles, and they've got to stop their alignment with countries that are antagonistic to us. To which you say what, sir?
Well, obviously, he doesn't like peace. He doesn't like diplomacy. He is a warmonger. Look, in the past 2 years, in the past 2 years only,
yes,
he has attacked 7 countries in our region. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
7 countries. And the last one was Qatar, an ally to the U.S., a friend to the U.S. and the West. So he has no solution in his mind but war. And this is something that everybody should understand. And he has tried his best so far to drag the United States into war with Iran. And once he was successful, and the result was a disaster, they failed. And if they try—
12-day war.
12-day war. And if they try a failed experience, once again, the result would not be any different.
Do you get a sense that other presidents have always gone along with Mr. Netanyahu or whatever Israel's needs were, more so than Mr. Trump is willing to do? What's the sense you get from Donald Trump on this? Do you how do you read him?
Let me tell you about the sense I got from our interlocutors, Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner.
Yes, sir.
I think they were, you know, trying to avoid war and to find a diplomatic solution. And that is, the most wise decision that that President Trump can make. We are told that their intention is to find a peaceful solution. If they are serious, that we are not still completely sure about that, if they are serious, we are serious too.
Let me just close the loop on the question about ballistic missiles and allies. Would Iran be willing to consider a reduction of its association with allies that are antagonistic to Israel based on Mr. Netanyahu's request? And will Iran be in any way willing to minimize or diminish its ballistic missile capability also?
Those are things not related to our nuclear program at all.
Off the record.
And we only negotiate about our nuclear program with the U.S.
Off the table. Those things are off the table.
Absolutely.
How confident are you about this conversation with Mr. Witkoff and Mr. Kushner that we can come to some kind of resolution and avoid a really ugly, dangerous situation in this part of the world and affecting the entire planet?
I'm confident on our own side. We are prepared for a diplomatic solution as much as we are prepared to defend ourselves against any new aggression. We were negotiating last time in June last year when they attacked us. Israelis first, followed by Americans. And we were negotiating when they did that. Now we are more prepared militarily to defend ourselves than before the 12-day war. Quantity-wise and quality-wise.
And
we are more prepared for diplomacy as well. We have learned many lessons from what happened during the past 12 months, from the 12-day war. We have learned our lessons on war and diplomacy. And now we are prepared for both. And I'm serious. We are prepared for both. If we are faced with sincere diplomats, sincere interlocutors who are trying to find a diplomatic solution, we are sincere and serious too. If they don't want to do that, we don't care. We are prepared for any other option.
But what if they attack, and what if they use aggressive means? What would your retaliatory strategy then be?
We defend ourselves.
How?
You know how.
You would attack the U.S. bases in the Gulf countries?
We would attack U.S. and U.S. assets and facilities, everything they have in our neighborhood.
You seem almost uncomfortable saying that. Are you?
I am? No, I'm not uncomfortable. The only point is I don't want to express something.
Yes.
Which I don't like it to happen.
Of course.
I'm a man of diplomacy. I'm a man of dialogue. I'm a man of negotiation. And everybody knows me. I have done it in the past, and I can do it again. I'm not the man of war, of course. Yeah. I have a war veteran myself.
Yes.
My country, our armed forces are fully prepared for any eventuality. But my preference is diplomacy.
Final question. Iran has some interesting allies these days. Thanks to BRICS and the Global South community, the world has changed. And we live in a more multipolar world. And many of the countries like Russia, China, Brazil, South Africa, I could go on, are in the same community as Iran these days. What is your confidence? Maybe we start with Russia. What is your level of confidence that you will have the backing, and what kind of backing, of Russia, for example? I recently had a conversation with Mr. Lavrov, your colleague, in Russia told me that they are supporting Iran. But I'm not sure what that means in terms of were we to be in a conflict. What is your sense of that?
Well, first of all, before I answer your question, you mentioned the number of countries who are supporting us.
Yes.
Let me to tell you that last time when the US and Israel attacked us, more than 120 countries condemned that attack and expressed their support and solidarity with the Islamic Republic of Iran.
How many?
120, more than 120.
Wow.
On Russia, Russia is a friend. It's a strategic friend, a strategic partner, I have to say. And we have already signed an agreement on that. It was last year when President Pezeshkian traveled to Kremlin and we signed that. We have always enjoyed a very close cooperation, even military cooperation. We are both under sanctions, and we are working with each other to avoid sanctions and to do business, not only with ourselves, but with the rest of the world. I should also name China as another strategic partner with which we enjoy a very good economic cooperation.
Yes, sir.
And I can also name many other countries in the region, in our neighborhood and beyond, that we have very good trade and business cooperation. You know, it's now more than 45 years that we are under the US sanctions, but we have survived and we are progressing and we have, you know, there are economic shortcomings, of course.
Of course.
But you are in Tehran, you can see by yourselves that life is going on in a very good way. And that is, to some extent, thanks to our good friends in the region and beyond.
I can only say this. I've now been in Iran for 3 days, and I would like to thank you as a representative. Sir?
Is it your first time?
It is my first time.
Good.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I think this is important. And I'm very thankful for you and for other leaders in your country for allowing me as a journalist to come here. I don't think there's anything more important than being able to share with people who the Iranian people are, what their wishes are, what their complaints are. I have been surprised that people love the United States here. They love Americans. They are fascinated. They have been nothing but friendly and kind to me in every way possible.
Well, we have no problem with the American people.
It seems that way.
What is wrong is American government's policies. No, we are against their policies, their arrogant policies. With the people of the United States, we have no problem.
It's important.
People like them. We have, you know, people-to-people relations. There are many, many Iranians in the United States. And we have always enjoyed, people-to-people relations. So there is nothing wrong between the two, between us and the American people. What is wrong is the United States policies, which has been hostile to the Islamic Revolution, to the Islamic Republic of Iran right after the revolution. And I think that is mostly because of intelligence failure. They lost their ally because of the Iranian Revolution exactly 47 years ago.
Yeah. You know,
tomorrow is the anniversary.
I will be there.
They lost their ally, and they didn't understand why. So they took a hostile position regarding the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that was a big mistake. And now they see the result.
Well, I can just say this. I know you're very much involved in these critical negotiations. As I said earlier, you're right in the thick of things. And I can only wish you the absolute best.
Thank you.
As a man of God myself, I believe it's important for us to find peace. I think there's few things that are more important that a man can do than what you happen to be embroiled in right now. And I wish you, sir, the very best. And we're very thankful that you give us an opportunity to have a better understanding of how the conversations are going so
far. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. We certainly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Rick Sanchez, and that is our report tonight from Tehran. We're very grateful to the Iranian government, and especially, of course, to the foreign minister for taking time to update us vis-a-vis you through the world as to what's happening right now during these negotiations. Good night and farewell from Tehran. I'm Rick Sanchez. Now back to Moscow.